We're doing something a little different today, guys. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that we have special episodes available only to patrons where we talk to guests about things that have been weighing on their minds or just sort of been prevalent in their lives, issues that they're working through. Back in August, Brock Wilbur came on the show and he shared his experiences as a volunteer at Planned Parenthood. He's been volunteering for about a year now here in California. And after the attack on Planned Parenthood in Colorado on Friday, Jeff and I thought that some of Brock's insights and experiences would be valuable, not just to our patrons, but to our audience in general. So we wanted to make this episode available to everyone. Thank you to Brock for coming by and sharing these stories. And thank you to our patrons for making this possible and allowing us to share it with all of you today. But that's, well, that's because for a year you got the couch. It's my turn.
You made sure that ended.
It's time for time for me to lounge.
And he chipped the backs off our chairs. Look at that.
Not Brock. Gets a back because he's a guest.
Yeah.
He gets to use the fancy soap that looks like a shell. You don't get to use that soap.
I don't get to use the shell soap?
No.
That's why my hands are always filthy.
You get to use the three shells. Like in Demolition Man.
How do I use them? I don't understand how. this is We Have Concerns. This is a special episode just for you patrons. Hello, Anthony Carboni.
Hi, Jeff Cannata.
And hello, Brock Wilbur, our special guest for this very special episode.
Woo! I'm a one-man audience.
Hello to me.
Woo!
Yeah.
I do kind of always have Anthony applauding by himself in my head. That's...
Yeah, I like to be a Jiminy Cricket for people.
a little Jiminy Carboni.
It's okay. Do great. You'll be fine.
This is special just for you patrons listening, and Brock came by. We did a regular episode. Hopefully you listened to that already, but this is for your concerns. Mm. You are in the anxiety chamber right now. What's concerning you?
It is what I expected it to look like.
It's a little too pleasant, right?
I wouldn't say that.
Disarmingly pleasant.
Yeah. Yeah. I share it with my wife who has no concerns about anything. It's half an anxiety chamber.
Yeah, it's just anxiety like creeping in from the side.
Imagine like the Odd Couple drawing the line down the middle of the room and there's just like,
now it's garbage.
Yeah, it's just darkness on this side and then fancy postcards from friends and occasionally succulents on desks on the other side.
Lovely. It's lovely.
It's nice.
They're a very hardy plant.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. So, Brock, what worries you? Are a dude who seems, I'm not going to say you're a very neurotic guy, but you know.
Well, your album is called Nightmare Fuel. So I don't know. I mean, I'm just inferring from that.
You can get dark sometimes though, I think.
You have anxiety context clues in everything that you make, say, and do.
Yeah.
Let's see. I think my concern as of late, and probably the thing I've been thinking about the most, is abortion.
Wow.
Wow.
Because about 6 months ago, I realized I don't do anything good, or in so much like I don't volunteer my time anywhere or something. And that used to be a big part of who I was. And then there were a couple years there where I was just like, I'm just so busy all of the time that I just don't have time to do stuff. And that's a lie. No, but, no one's too busy to give back something.
It doesn't mean you should have been aborted.
You jumped to the end of this story.
Do you leave instructive and or insightful internet comments anywhere? Because that counts, I think, as community service.
I don't think I look at the comment section anymore. On
like good tweets.
Do.
Like if you tweet good.
I do some good ass tweets.
Yeah,
you're right.
Like if somebody fave stars your shit, like you probably don't have to clean up your community.
I don't ask people to donate money to my podcast, so that's.
I do, but that's why I always tweet good ass tweets.
Gotta make up for it.
Make up for it. That's my carbon offset.
So wait, where did you grow up?
Kansas.
Grew up in Kansas, and you said that service and volunteering used to be part of your lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, when grow up in a church and you start with that kind of stuff. And then, you know, in college, you find those things elsewhere. But I wasn't doing anything that I was like, I'm really proud to be doing that thing. And a friend of mine who's a comic had spent the last couple of years as a volunteer at a women's clinic outside town on the weekends, and would just go out there and would tell me that it was very rewarding and that I should give it a try. And so I signed up to start doing this. And it's this heartbreakingly weird, horrifying situation, which is that you go to these women's clinics where women are mostly just trying to get medical stuff taken care of, sometimes just medicine, like sometimes abortions are performed there and sometimes they're not, but you wind up with just these walls of protesters.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And so mostly what you do as a volunteer, as an escort, is that you just sort of make sure that women can get safely from their cars to inside the facility and back out again.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're a big guy.
Yeah, it does help and that you're a giant person.
And the second you're like, I'm going to volunteer at the clinic, they're like, oh, we know what we need you to do.
Yeah, that's well, and that's one of the things about it is that it's mostly women that volunteer and mostly like very small people and the occasional like dude. And so it's you've got
mostly mythical creatures, elves, gnomes, yeah. Dryads, sprites, just small, yeah. tiny little. Yeah.
So the thing that blows me away about this, and first of all, amazing and awesome.
Yeah.
But the thing that blows me away about this is, you know, you see on the news protesters, you see, you know, these big events. This is a daily problem.
They basically, a lot of these clinics are open sort of one day a week, because that's most of the doctors come in from other like hospitals and stuff, and they volunteer their time to work there. So right. They're like, you know, Sunday at this location is our day, and the protesters know that too. So that the protesters rotate the days and locations that they are, so they can be everywhere.
Wow.
And there are a couple of locations around Los Angeles that just based on the way that it's built, they're pretty safe and okay. Like there's a parking garage or there's something like that. But there is a location, in Downey, California, which is about 30 minutes away from here, where it's surrounded on all sides by public sidewalks and public parking lots and stuff. And that means that people can legally stand in any of those spaces that aren't the private property. And so the sort of the building is surrounded a bit, and the parking lot right next to it, where people have to park, is, and I couldn't make this up if I tried, is also a Chick-fil-A parking lot.
Oh my God.
So if there's just one more reason I had to...
The protesters don't go there on Sundays because they got nothing to eat.
Right. Yeah.
They do go
there. They starve out.
They do go there because none of them remember that it's closed on Sundays. So you always see somebody walk up to the door and like try to pull it.
Oh,
and,
so
like,
they're extra mad.
Yeah, they're extra mad. Can't get the Chick-fil-A. Oh,
this is crazy to me. But like, because like you say, a lot of these clinics, I mean, yes, there are abortions happening there, but that's not the majority of what's going on there.
Right.
Like my wife and I, when we were dating, we went to a Planned Parenthood for her to get her IUD, because if you go to a Planned Parenthood, it's just as good and clean and safe as going to get it at your standard physician. But it doesn't cost you $3,500. Mm. It costs you like $600. And so it's doable. Mm. And they make all these things possible. But no matter when you go, we went to the little one in the Mission in San Francisco. And there's never like a huge group, because San Francisco thankfully doesn't have a lot of that. But there's always the same guy out every day with this just hate desk. He's got little hate dioramas. He's just got like his little hate signs that he's made, like in little hate print shop pro or whatever the fuck people use now. And he's just like sitting out there every day, just like, hey, how are you? You're fucking terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's
one of the ones that always catches me, is that they have these like signs that are 7 feet tall that are just big pictures of aborted fetuses and babies all cut up and stuff, and just weird, bloody, grotesque stuff. And you're like, what print shop handled that? And
what poor Kinko's employee was
like, oh, okay, I'll just make that done by four. This isn't up to the quality standard of what I want. Well, we're not going to do it a second time, sir. I'm so sorry.
It actually made us all cry and rethink our lives that we capitulated to do it the first time. Yeah. Also, it's not 300 DPI. You should not be going to this size. Okay?
Yeah.
Your color, your ICC profile doesn't match. You're not thinking this through. Okay?
Yeah, you tell him, Kinko's guy.
Yeah, thank you. I'm protesting however I can. I'm doing good. I'm going to tweet that I'm doing good.
You know what makes me so...
This is the most Anthony character I've ever seen.
What makes me so angry is how delicious Chick-fil-A is.
Out of everything in this situation.
I can't get that out of my head, guys. I hate how good those damn sandwiches are.
Yeah.
I don't want to support that place.
No.
They're so good.
There's also like a burger place in that little area there too that's right next door, and they are actually open on Sundays. And the people that have to drive past the cut up children pictures and stuff, you just see their manager just stand there every Sunday going, I can't believe the location that I selected for this.
I still can't get a transfer. I've applied 16 times.
I want to work at the other Chuck E. Cheese. Just please transfer me to the other Downy Chuck E. Cheese.
So one of the things that you run into out there is
not fun.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of these people show up in groups and they don't all come from the same place or the same ideology. So a lot of them don't even like each other, which is a weird thing to have. Because you've got usually there's a group of about 10 to 15 Asian women, and they usually bring a recording that they play like out of a boombox that they've got, and it's got three songs on it, and one song is a song written from the perspective of a fetus thanking the mother for not killing it. And then the second song is that was just
Korea's entry into pop song contest, World Pop 2015.
Yeah. And then the second song is the same song in Spanish.
Oh, good.
Which is how I'm learning Spanish. And then the third song is just a 15-minute recording of
a picture you going into a Mexican restaurant and trying to order, and all you can do is spew hate about abortions.
And then the third song is just a 15-minute recording of a child laughing, like a Halloween sound effect CD, just like this kid laughing. Because the wall of the clinic that goes up against the street there is the same wall that is a very thin wall that leads to the waiting room where everyone has to sit.
No.
And so when they hold these things up, or when they shout things or blow on shofars or give sermons, you hear it just as if you were sitting right next to them.
Oh,
and when you walk up, you're like, usually it's the first thing that somebody points to is like, why are all those women screaming at the side of a building? They look insane. And you're like, no, they can be heard clear as day. So you've got
How do they know that?
They all know. They all know what they've all like gone inside and pretended once to have been there and cased the joint. But then you get dudes that are, and it's one of the big problems with it is that it's such a social class issue, especially in somewhere like Downey, where it's a bunch of middle-aged, well-to-do white dudes who come and yell at women of color and of lesser means. And some of them, like their racism is so thinly veiled. It's this weird kind of mom racism where they're like, don't abort your child. What if he grows up to be a rapper or an NBA star?
Oh my
and you're
God.
Like, oh, dude. But those are the same guys.
Wow.
Those are the same guys that are definitely into a lot of conspiracy theories, because a lot of the stuff that they shout has nothing even to do with this or maybe even religion. It's a lot of dudes that you can tell, like, somebody just, no one ever told them, like, what blogs were and that you could just put your words there. And then they saw this happen one day and they're like, hey, there's a place I can go where everyone has to sit and listen to the things I say and my ideas. I'm going to show up there every Sunday and shout at women that are terrified of my views on anti-Calvinism. And you're like, all right, that seems like a thing. Like, I just blog spot. Like, you could go do this instead.
We have spoken about this before. I literally set my father up with a Tumblr for all of his crazy.
Yeah.
For crazy all of lives. His crazy.
It's a little box for your crazy.
There you go. Yeah. And you know what? So much more pleasant now, because his crazy doesn't leak out. Because I think on a certain level...
Did you read my link that I sent?
Absolutely not, Dad. Absolutely not, and I never will. What's weird is, like, he posts, like, a lot of... posts a lot of terrible things. He's not anti-abortion. He's not racist. He's just one of those, like... Or at least, he doesn't know he's racist if he is. I don't think he is. But he's got a lot of those, like, super, like... crazy Tea Party right-winger problems with the world.
Sure.
And, you know, I would like to think that it's not connected to race, because he's never said anything about it, but, you know, he does want to know where the birth certificate is. So, what's weird is interspersed throughout those posts will be like a post of, here's a video my son made. I'm so proud of him. And like under, under any other circumstance, I'd be like, oh, that's really nice of my dad to use the tools that I use to say that he, but I like refuse to let him tag me. I won't reblog it. I never like it because I don't want anybody to see.
Yeah.
Nobody can see my dad's right wing Tumblr. But I feel like a lot of these dudes, if they just had an outlet for their crazy.
Can that be our new project? My dad's right wing Tumblr.
That's
where we just screen cap dad Tumblrs.
Oh God. Let's all give our dads a Tumblr and just
not tell them the same Tumblr.
And just not,
who's been posting on my Tumblr?
Because I was going to post that. It's actually that it's a really thing. Insightful post. If you would just let me know who else is on this Tumblr.
And then our dads become better friends than we are.
And they start a podcast. And
better friends, worse people.
Yeah. I guess the only silver lining about this, if there is a tiny one, is that the other people are as annoyed. Like there's people suffering. They're from
I like that they don't get along. I like that they're like the expendables of hatred.
Yeah.
You know, like they're a ragtag team that's assembled and they don't like each other.
I want to hear this guy talk about Calvinism. Can we please stay on topic?
Can we please stay on topic? I brought a tape of a fetus laughing. Can we all please focus on that?
Funded by the Joker, obviously.
Well, one of the dudes that shows up, we call Dr. Spichemin. and he likes to, we have a non-engagement policy, which is the hardest thing about this is that I can't say or do anything, but if somebody makes a move, you know, I
your
put
instinct,
my body in between them. Yeah.
Your instinct as a comic has to be to shut them down.
Oh yeah. So many times you hear a thing and you're just like, oh, if everyone just looked away for 2 minutes, I could make you cry and kill yourself. Yeah. There's a guy there that he likes to, he'll start off the shift by going up and he'll just stand behind a girl or a dude and he'll do like soft reads, kind of like a psychic thing where it's like, I see you have a scar and that's where, you know, you went through a tough time and Jesus was there and your family was there and stuff. And every time he starts into that, you're kind of like, yeah, this guy's trying to make a connection and maybe he's not the craziest person. And then every time you miss it, you turn around and he's managed to cover himself in bloody scrubs and he's holding up a bunch of doll parts that he's put on sticks.
Wow.
And you're like, oh, no, you're the looniest of them all, sir. And he's taken to being very afraid of me, and I know it because he stands behind me and shouts, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of you, monster. And then asks other people to shout that they are not afraid of the monster. And I'm like, I like to joke about being a bit of a Frankenstein man, but this is unreasonable.
This is amazing.
A monster.
So there's regulars. There's these guys.
Yeah, there's regular. Well, there's a number of them that have made it a career because what they will do, and it's one of the real problems that the whole system sort of has is that, especially in a place like Downey, you can call the cops if somebody throws a punch or gets physical, and the cops will show up and they just think that, what we're doing and what the protesters are doing is this hilarious game of back and forth, this little play sketch that we throw up every weekend. And they're like, all right, we'll go back to playing nice. Like, we've had the cops come before and been like, here's a video of a dude punching one of us. And the guy's like, indeed, I did punch them. Please arrest me, because they've made careers out of getting arrested at these things. And then they go to churches throughout the week and they're like, I'm doing the Lord's work out there. I need more money to help do it. They have an incentive, a fiscal incentive to attack people. And, I don't think I'd realized how important or big this was until a couple of weeks ago. We were out there and we had our normal sort of group, and then a school bus pulled up and 40 teenagers got off, and started helping out with the protesters. And, it turns out that there is a summer camp devoted to teaching teenage kids how to protest abortion clinics. And a friend of mine who works for the group I volunteer with showed me their Facebook page. And that was the craziest thing I've ever seen, because it was just like a normal summer camp where they're like, you wouldn't believe the prank, like bunk 8 pulled on bunk 2. And you're like, okay. And then under that, it's like, but we got to bring down Obama's socialist Satanist wow. regime.
I made a lanyard and I made a lady cry.
And they
it was a good day. Let's have s'mores.
They pretty explicitly state that they're like, you know, teenagers can get away with a lot that they won't be arrested for that adults would. So it's important to get them out there and doing this. Oh, so all of a sudden you just have 40 kids that have songs and sketches and all this enthusiasm and energy. And they, one of them looked one of our girls right in the face and said, I'm going home to get a gun and I'm going to come back and shoot you. And the rest of them like applauded and like, yay, Billy's the best. And you know, they incur that sort of enthusiasm encourages some of the more dangerous people to be like, I'm going to show them what I'm made of. And, you know, when this person turns around, I'm going to hit him in the back of the head. And so he was like, oh, this is really dangerous and spooky. But the thing of all these things that they kind of do and try, cause they try everything. The thing that gets under my skin is always when kids are involved, cause I'll see somebody bring out their 9-year-old and teach the 9-year-old to yell at us. And I'm like, that kid is going to grow up in one day. Resent you for every second of this.
Or is going to grow up to be that person.
Or will grow up to be that person. So to watch all those teenagers get off the bus and be like, man, so many of you are going to go to college in just a couple of years. And I hope that enough of you go somewhere else that you're like, oh, wait, what was I doing there? That was the worst thing.
Dude, Brock, this is horrifying and deeply disturbing to me on every level. And you started the conversation in a really interesting way about talking about being of service and doing something good. And clearly you are physically protecting human beings, which is to be commended and I'm sure rewarding on a certain level. But does it have a psychological effect on you? I mean, to be around that kind of vitriol for a long period of time?
It takes a thing out of you, and I'm a pretty cynical dude, I think, anyway, but there some of these weeks that thing will happen and I'll just go into the rest of my week being like, I don't have that much faith in humanity. Okay. Like it's that sort of thing that to see it, just to even see it is to be like, you look at your wristwatch and you're like, what year is it? And do I have a wristwatch? Like what is 2015 and people are doing this just screaming at women. And I think I got into this in a big part last year because there was a lot of screaming at women online. And I was like, well, there's nothing I can do to stop that. But there is screaming at women in the real world that still somehow manages to manifest itself on a weekly basis. And there is a little bit that you can do to help there.
So that's kind of something that I wanted to get at is you kind of started off with this general goal of, I know I should be doing something that, I know I should be doing more good. I know I should be doing something that's a little more fulfilling for me on that sort of level than anything I'm doing on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
Was this a particularly strong issue for you before you started? And how has it grown in, like, did you feel it change into a more important issue for you or a more kind of deep issue for you?
The thing about it is that while I certainly feel strongly about it, it's never been a thing that was, I've also visited Planned Parenthoods. And once you've gone to your Planned Parenthood for the first time, you're like, oh, this is the most important thing in the world. And this is like, I see what this does. And at the end of the day, a lot of the politics behind even what's happening there, it's not that they're not important to me, but they're not nearly as important to me as just the simple idea that people should be okay being treated as people and shouldn't have to feel afraid in America in 2015. And the fact that there are places where people are going to just try and get health care and people scream at them that they're going to hell and chase them to their cars and throw things at them it leaves the politics behind. And I've even talked to people that feel strongly about the other side. I'm like, yeah, but don't you feel like people should just be okay to feel safe? Like if you want to have that political discussion, that can happen elsewhere. So the thing about it grows and it came from that place that one day you look at Facebook and you're like, everyone here is taking a strong political stance on something that they would never give 2 hours out of their weekend towards.
Yeah.
And no, but like, if I write like a really good tweet about it, Brock, and it gets fave starred like crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you get like the trophy? Do you get like a trophy on that?
I got like a daily trophy. I got like a daily trophy.
Okay, well, you're then a I'm goddamn doing hero. Good.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought. I think that's kind of interesting though, because when people are looking to do community service or they're looking to volunteer, one of the things that happens a lot is they're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I feel strongly about, and when I was volunteering, I just picked a place that was close to my house. And because I had read these things, it was like, it doesn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just go do something and you'll find that it's, the issue is probably more important than you feel it is. And you probably feel more strongly about it than you think you do. Because a lot of it is just like, well, I don't know what I feel strongly about because we're so uninformed about things mm-hmm. on a deeper level that I think like the second you get into anything worthwhile, you kind of begin going like, oh yeah, there's a lot of people who depend on this, or this is helping people in this way, or I didn't even know that the community needed this as badly right. as it did, you know?
I mean, I think this is so extraordinary, and you know, I believe strongly, as you do, in volunteering and in devoting a portion of your life to doing something good, and the times that I have done so and continue to do so, I I often pick things that end up making me feel awesome. Like helping people, you know, I've worked with kids. I've done stuff where, you know, you end up walking out and going, oh my God, the smiles on those faces when I left, it was, and you don't get that. Like that, it's so profound to me that you are doing something good and I think absolutely necessary and selfless, but you're also not getting, maybe my question is, am I not understanding? Do you still get that kernel of feeling good when you walk away, or are you depressed every time?
I get that thing because one of the great parts is that there's just so many cool, strong, smart women that do this with me. Mm-hmm. And so many of them are also like stand-ups or performers of some sort, because that's just it's a nice skill set to have going into this thing, that you're like, yeah, I know what it's like to have a lot of people yelling at you.
You think this is bad? Try yeah. opening at the on Sunset.
Yeah. Whoa, the Dane Cook Show. Yeah, that part, like working with the people, is extremely pleasant. But there are moments that, and they are fleeting and small. But every one of them has meant a great deal to me. Where somebody will like give you a look or a nod or a wave or like mouth a thank you as they're driving out. Okay. And you're like, oh, you get to see the faces of everyone you're helping. And a lot of times you're even helping them get into a car and you're watching them drive away. And there's, you don't get the happy smiling faces thing, but there is, that feeling that you know what you did that day and that, they definitely appreciated it or knew what it was, and you can't expect anyone to be in the sort of space where they could yeah. properly thank you or do something. It's just one of those things, and it's like Anthony was saying, just getting out there to do something, it might not matter what you're doing, but there are some things in our culture right now where you can just see something like this and like, wow, that is bad. That yeah. is a bad thing that is happening, and it's yeah. shocking that it should be there. And sometimes the protesters will shout things like, why do you come out and do this with your weekend? Like, why do you waste your time on this? And it's like, I don't want to be. The last thing I want to do is to be here ever. I am here because you are here. Like, it's this yeah. back and forth.
Yeah.
You are your own causality.
and I guess maybe that's a good way for people who are looking for something, is to be like, well, what's the first thing that you kind of see when you're looking at Facebook or at Twitter, where you go, oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
Where you get like, it maybe isn't like this deep, deep, visceral, emotional reaction all the time. But like, if you see something and you know that every time it pops up, you're like, that's bad. I wonder if there's a thing
yeah.
about that yeah, I can do.
How did you find out about that? Did you just sort of Google?
My buddy who's a stand-up comedian had been doing it for a couple of years, and very small dude, and I was just like, is that weird? He's like, it would be nice to have you there. It would be nice. I was like, oh, okay.
What happens is me and two other smaller comics get on each other's shoulders and wear a giant trench coat.
That's probably why that guy thinks you're a
monster.
I don't
think Jesus ever really said that.
But if people wanted to get involved in sort of the way that you're involved, is there a place where they can go to check things out?
Most cities have a group that sort of organizes this. LA for Choice is the group that I work for. And they you can just send them an email at la4choice@gmail.com and be like, hey, what's up? And they'll let you know all the places that we go, the times that we go there. Everything is done in a very manageable way because they know what it takes out of people to do this. So shifts are very short at these places. No one ever stays longer than they feel comfortable. You can't get overbooked.
I'm done. Yeah.
Jeff feels shitty. Jeff just drives by. He's like, y'all okay? Like, it's just a rolling stop.
Oh, God. I saw the signs. Oh, these guys are terrible.
Is that 300 DPI? That looks good.
How'd you get that?
I mean, it's terrible. You're a horrible monster of a person. Print quality's pretty good.
and the Jeff roll by is one of the things that freaks us out the most. Sometimes a lot of times people would drive by and honk, and we're like, who are you showing support for?
Yeah. Please be more specific.
Yeah.
I like to think that even for some of the protesters, they're like, oh, maybe catcalling doesn't work. Like, this is where they figure that out too.
Is there any sort of connection that you people could make to become better in any way? No? All right. Monster out. Like,
monster out.
That's awesome. So,
my only question is there some way that we can work on making Chick-fil-A less delicious? Can I volunteer for that? Let's just, no? Okay.
All right. Well, I'll get on the
maybe that's
stuff.
Not the takeaway. Maybe that's not the takeaway. maybe that's not it. So if you're in the LA area, please check out LA for Choice. If you're not in the LA area, I'm sure there are resources probably on Planned Parenthood itself and all those other organizations.
Dude, an amazing thing you're doing and amazing way to share it with our audience. I think it was unexpected for me, but completely. I'm moved. And I really appreciate it. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I feel like a more terrible person. Because
that's what I came here to do today.
Thanks, man.
guys, let's just all just go get some Chick-fil-A and just talk this
out. No, that's not the takeaway here.
I'm sorry.
No.
I'm not clear.
We're not supposed to eat. Okay.
Okay.
If guys,
we'll order it for takeaway, which is like their drive-thru. But
zing. You get one because you're doing good work.
He saved it to the
you're
end
doing
like a
good
pro.
Work.
He's a pro.
Can't kick me off now. I'm an hour of content.
Guys, if you want to hear more of Brock, he has a weekly podcast called Brock Party. He also has an album on iTunes called Nightmare Fuel. You finished up your Doctor Who podcast, didn't you? Or are you still going?
Doctor Who podcast still going. Laughing at archaeologists. Me and Rye Silverman plowing through
that's
50 years
of special
Doctor
interest
Who.
To
awesome.
Me.
Can I make a suggestion for your next album title?
Yes.
I think it should be "I'm Not Scared of You, Monster."
I'm not scared. That's
a
good
one. I think
that
would be a great title.
Let us know. Go check out Brock's stuff. Let us know down below if you guys do volunteer. If you're looking to volunteer.
Tell Anthony
somewhere.
All the things that you do that make you better than Anthony so I can read them and laugh.
No, honestly, I would love to hear what some of the people out there
if
that listen to our show do.
If this motivates some people to volunteer some time in, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did we say our Twitter handles? You're at Anthony.
I mean, this is for patrons. They know.
They know.
They know. The Brock is at Brock Wilbur. You should know that.
Yes.
But, you know.
You know. You know.
You know. You know.